Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The city of Astoria just completed their first round of public engagement on the Astoria Recreational Trails Project. That round of public engagement, which just happened, included a public survey and two public events, and also interviews with specific user groups on the Astoria trails. And today we have Christina Koenig. Christina is the seasonal recreational planner for the Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. Rosemary Johnson of the City of Astoria was going to join us and was at the last moment unable to. So we'll be talking with Christina about where we are in the process. There are a couple of more opportunities for the public to weigh in on this proposed, any changes to the recreational trails here in Astoria. And so we'll be talking about that today and how you can be involved. Welcome, Christina.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having me today.
Well, I'm glad you're back and you have information to report to us. But before we do that, for those who may have missed the program with you over a month ago, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you said, I'm a seasonal recreation planner with the Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. We're providing assistance to Astoria on this trails planning project. And I'm coming in as a recent graduate in landscape architecture and community and regional planning at U of O down in Eugene. So I'm up here just temporarily to help out with this project and some other projects going on in local communities, and excited to be here.
So, but this project, this City of Astoria Recreational Trails project, that's been your baby.
Yes, definitely.
All right. And in the beginning, why did this project even start? I mean, what happened? Let's look at the history of it before we start talking about where we are and where we're going.
Right. So in 2006, the City of Astoria adopted a trails plan. And a lot of those trails in the 2007 storm were decimated, and not a lot had happened since that time. And the city currently is updating their transportation system plan, and they're looking at, you know, public access, pedestrian and bike access throughout the city, and saw as a perfect time to kind of revisit the recreational aspect of trails and access. And so that's really what this project is. We're doing it at the same time. We're updating the old plan, and hopefully the two process, the transportation system plan and this recreational plan, will kind of feed each other so we can make ultimately a better plan.
I think we're very fortunate because a lot of small towns of this size, which is 10,000-ish or so, don't have the recreational opportunities for hiking and walking and biking that Astoria has right here in its own backyard.
Yeah, that's very true. And the City of Astoria has a unique urban forest kind of area, similar to what Portland has in a way. And a lot of cities don't have something like that. So a lot of land that has a lot of potential for trail development, protection from development, and as it is right now. And so that's a great asset.
And it provides habitat for our wildlife, for the deer and all of the critters who live, you know, nearby.
Right. And we hear from a lot of people that that's one of their main uses on the trail, is to go out and watch nature and enjoy being in nature. So,
all right. So you had these rounds of public engagement. What were they? What happened? And what did we learn?
So we had a survey that was one of the biggest responses we got. We had 175 people complete our survey, which was huge for the community. We submitted that online, and we had paper copies submitted throughout.
Can people still do that, or is that part over?
The survey's pretty much closed. We've had a couple more trickle in here and there. We no longer have the online version active.
Okay.
And we've pretty much summarized our results. So the best way to get involved at this point would be to come to our upcoming events this weekend. But the survey was very successful, so 175 people responded, or just over that. And we had two public events. We had a day at the market. We had an evening at Fort George Brewery, and we estimate that we had around 200 people or so come to talk to us during those events. And we also interviewed 10 different stakeholders, we call them, or interest groups, user groups in the community, got one-on-one feedback from those groups of what they'd like to see.
Let's give an example of who would be a user group. I mean, obviously, you have just citizens who just say they're going to take their dogs out for a stroll. And a lot of these are footpaths. They're not marked. They're just, you know, you just kind of know. Well, the Cathedral Trail obviously does have a sign. But a lot of this is, you know, just folks wanting to just go out and be in a place where they can watch birds and take their dogs where it's quiet. And so they're not highly developed trails. But who would be user groups? Who are these 10 user groups that you met with?
So the first, I should say that these user groups were identified by an advisory group that kind of helped guide this planning process. So they kind of helped us select who these user groups would be, and it included dog walkers, people from the school district and the parks board, the city council, bike users, the hiking clubs in town, both the community college and the Angora Hiking Club, and a group of youth were also interviewed in the process. So,
all right. And so you've done the interviews, you've had some of this research, you did the public survey, and the trails that we're talking about at this point in time are the Cathedral Trail, the Cathedral Tree Trail, the Pipeline Trail, Riverwalk, Shively Park, Community College Trail. Is that essentially what we're talking about?
Yeah, there's also the Coast Guard Trail. There's a small trail south of the middle school, but those are the big ones and the ones that people are most familiar with.
Okay. So what did the public say? What kind of feedback did you get so far? Because this is helping you shape your proposal and recommendation to City Council.
Right. We got a lot of really great feedback. Some things we heard over and over again. And so I'll tell you a little bit about what those things are that we heard most commonly. Obviously, there was a lot of conversation about improvements of the existing trails, and that was a really high priority for people. So we've documented a list of what some of those improvements are on the specific trails.
Yeah, well, like an example of an improvement would be what? Clearing brush?
Well, Cathedral Tree Trail in particular was one that was noted as needing some improvement, and that was erosion, a lot of erosion and water drainage issues.
Okay.
And so looking at, you know, we don't have a solution to that yet. We need to go out and assess what's an appropriate solution to those issues still. But yes, fixing some of and repairing some of the walkways so they're safe.
So when we were talking about improvements to trails, because these are nature trails, you're not talking about paving things. You're not talking about, I mean, obviously the Riverwalk is a separate entity. But if you're talking about just a footpath or a hiking trail through a forested area, it's not about, you know, slick improvements.
Well, that actually was one question we asked people at the public events. We had some photos up to ask people what were the types of trails just aesthetically that people were wanting to see. And we heard a lot of support for the soft surface trails and forested areas. There wasn't a lot of encouragement for development of paved trails at this time. But accessible trails are also important. So kind of, I think, balancing an accessible trail along with also enhancing the
right. Well, for some people who may not be able to walk up the Cathedral Tree Trail for whatever reason, you have the flat surface, you have the Riverwalk, which is a paved trail.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so you heard that there are people who want some improvements.
Yes. And some of those improvements also include signage. We heard a lot about signage. So we're marking the trails so it's really clear, the starting and ending point, some mileage along the trails, improved wayfinding for, you know, where people might get lost along the trails, signage about regulations, so what appropriate allowed or not allowed uses are on the trails. Also some signage for etiquette, kind of trail etiquette. What's the proper etiquette for a bike user and a walker on a trail, or to try to improve the experience for all users?
And the trails we're talking about are really not open to motorized vehicles. They're really hiking and walking trails with some opportunities for also bicycling.
Yeah, and that's a question we've had this time, too. We were revisiting that question. What are the allowed uses we want to allow people to to allow on the trails? And for the most part, everybody that I talked to has been opposed to motorized use or ATV use on the trail system. So we haven't heard support for that yet, and actually have heard lots and lots of people asking to prohibit those uses on the trails.
Well, especially if you're talking about erosion in areas and things like that, mm-hmm. vehicles can tear up the soil, and I think that's obviously something you're looking at.
Well, and if a trail's built properly for those uses, it can withstand that kind of use. It's looking at, you know, where do you want to develop those trails and is there space for it within the city limits and is there support for that within the city limits? And right now we're not seeing a lot of support. So
okay. So that's some of what you heard back. What else did you hear?
We heard additional trails. There's a demand for some additional trails to both improve productivity, also to enhance some of the length of the trails. People want to see some longer loops and connections throughout the city. So additional trails, both locally and then also looking at regional connectivity and trying to connect to some regional access points. So Warrenton Trail System, and heading eastward towards John Day or Mertz Campus, Tongue Point, those kinds of places. There was a demand to control invasive species and look at some of the invasive species along trails and do maintenance on that to improve safety along trails. So there's concern for both safety from human's perspective and other users and some illicit behavior that was that was talked about, especially up in the forested area. So how do we improve that will be one question we'll be tackling. And then also safety with other animals. So people have heard of cougar sightings and bear sightings and aren't really sure what to do if they were to see one. So they want to know what to do.
Okay.
One of the biggest things that was great out of this whole process was that over half the people that completed the survey were willing to volunteer to help with trail maintenance and improvements on the trails. And so we have a collection now of about 75 names starting, a list started at least, of people who are willing to come out and actually volunteer. And even more than that, I think 80% of the survey respondents were willing to donate, you know, at least $10, if not more. We had one person turn in a $100 check with their survey, so to show their support for the Trails Project. So there's a huge amount of excitement for this project. People are willing to come out, from what we've heard, to volunteer their time and their money to help make this happen.
Christina, that's very encouraging and very important. I'm a trail user, and I would definitely put my money there too. And one thing we didn't talk about that I know you got feedback on was for dog walkers to clean up after their dogs.
Yes, we heard that a lot, and that's going into our recommendations. All these comments have been now transferred to what I'm calling recommendations that it will go into the plan. The addition of dog bags and disposal sites at each of the trailheads will be something that will hopefully contribute to improving that. So
you now have the results from these past meetings, and you are having two more opportunities for the public to be involved before you put together your final proposal. And let's talk just quickly about those opportunities before we take our mid-show break.
Okay.
Here.
Okay, so this Saturday on the 6th, we have a Coffee Girl kind of open house down at Coffee Girl. Is that Pier 39?
Pier 39.
From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. we'll be there. We're going to have our recommendations posted for people to go through and let us know if there's ones that they like. Maybe they're opposed to, and or if there's any other additional comments. And ultimately, what we're trying to get at is what should we prioritize in our next steps when we're looking at funding opportunities and implementing some of these. And then following day on the 7th, we're going to be at the Sunday Market again. That's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We'll be down there with a booth, and we'll be doing the same thing that day.
And what will the booth say? Will it just say City of Estuary or Recreational Trail Project?
Exactly.
And then you just pop in, and there will be either you will be there, Brett Estes from the City of Estuary, or Rosemary Johnson will be there, and
correct,
you'll be, and they can ask, you can ask them questions, and they can show you what they've, what their recommendations are so far.
Right.
Okay. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. And today we're speaking with Christina. Christina, please pronounce your last name.
It's Koenig.
I knew it. Christina Koenig. I'm sorry. I think I pronounced it incorrectly at the beginning. Christina Koenig. She is a seasonal recreational planner for Lewis and Clark National Historical Park. And the City of Astoria is just now completing the public input stage on their recreational trails project. And we've just talked about the trails and what's happened in the past and what some of these recommendations are. And it sounds like there are also some ideas for proposed new trails. I know that Terry Wilson said he had just spoken with Paul Benoit about the extension on the Riverwalk, which is just goes just east of Alderbrook, correct?
It's a one-mile extension. It goes past the lagoon. And there's a beach there that the Paul says the locals call it Stinky Beach, but there's no stinky about it. I said, well, what would the political correct title be? He says, oh, call it Alderbrook Lagoon Beach. It goes over the railroad bridge and that, and it's going to extend a mile from the end of the existing
riverwalk. Is it paved yet?
I don't believe so.
Okay, because I rode my bike there actually a few weeks ago, and there was gravel. I could see that it was looking like they were getting ready to repair it. So extension. So you talked about the improvements people would like to see on the trail system here in Astoria, and also these ideas of proposed new trails. Mm-hmm. Can you share anything about that with us?
Sure. So the Riverwalk was the most popular trail by far from residents here. And so there was talk of extending the Riverwalk trail both eastwards towards Mertz campus and Tongue Point. We've looked a little bit at the feasibility of it going up to Tongue Point, and it would be probably a very large expense to get through some of the private property up there. But we're keeping that on the books for now. And then extending the Riverwalk on the south side of Astoria along Young's Bay. There was a lot of talk for that extension all the way down to Williamsport Road. So those were two for the Riverwalk. There was also talk of developing a trail system within the urban forest and a more established trail system, so it would include signage and more wayfinding throughout. And that trail system could connect to Cannery Pier, or what is Scandinavian Cannery Road? Is that what it's called? Into the forest there. Pipeline Road. There's some logging roads, basically, back there that the trail system would connect into for an extended recreation experience outside the city limits. They would also connect down to the Riverwalk. And so we'll have a map this weekend that people can come out and see exactly how we're envisioning that happening. Another location that came up was the new ball fields that are going to be going in just south of Pipeline Road, the sports complex that are going in for the high school students. And so connecting Shively Park Loop and Pipeline Road to that, so that students can have access from the middle school area, potentially eventually from the high school area, to walk to the ball fields. Those are some big ones. And then some other extensions that improve access down to the Riverwalk, and some little links that help link existing trails as well, so that people have the opportunity to go from one trail to the next and kind of diversify their trail experience. So, those are the big ones.
And, Christina, what about the cost for implementation of some of these suggestions? I mean, where is the money coming from to make some of these trail improvements? How is that going to factor into your proposal?
That's one of the first questions we get from almost everybody we talk to. And it's a big question and an important question, and we'll be addressing that in this planning process. So the first thing is to look at, you know, what is the expense of the trail? And we, at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park, we held a trails workshop last week, and some of the city staff were there. And we talked about the cost of our trail development and our experiences with maintenance. And we have found it to be very affordable as far as when you're talking about capital improvements in a city, it's a very cost-effective recreational addition to your community, both the construction of it and also the maintenance. So we generally have, you know, some regular clearing as our maintenance every year, which can be done with volunteer groups, and we do use volunteer groups or youth crews with ours.
Wait, I have a quick question. So you use volunteers and youth groups at Lewis and Clark National Historical Park on the trails, but who does the city of Astoria have maintain the trails here?
Right now, there's a lot of citizens who actually go out and do it themselves, and it's not organized or coordinated. And so we're hoping that this plan will help create some organization around it. Like I said, we have a lot of people who have already volunteered. There's a lot of groups in town that already exist. Job Corps, the senior projects could help contribute here. Boy Scouts, 4-H Club. A lot of the user groups that I talked to during the interviews were all willing to pitch in however they could to help.
It's very impressive that you got 75 volunteers from this public survey. And if you're listening now and you have not weighed in on the trails and you like being out in the natural world and you're willing to clear some brush or rake leaves or whatever is necessary, it's not too late. You can contact. What would be the best way for folks listening who want to be involved with the trails and do some? How could they get involved?
Two ways. You can come to our event events this weekend, and we'll have you filling out your name and contact information so we can put you on our list. Again, that's going to be Saturday and Sunday at Coffee Girl or the Sunday Market on Sunday. Or you can call the Community Development Department if you can't make either of those events. And so their phone number is 503-338-5183. And if you call them, you can leave your information, and myself or Brad or Rosemary will be able to get back to you.
Okay, so if you're interested in being part of the City of Astoria Recreational Trails Project, either as a volunteer or weighing in on some things that you'd like to have considered in their formal proposal, then you have an opportunity to go on Saturday to Coffee Girl at Pier 39 from 10 to 1, or Sunday all day on Sunday from on the Sunday Market 10 to 3. That's an opportunity, or you can call the City of Astoria, as Christina was just talking about. So, all right, so you have these events this weekend, and then what's the next step? What happens after that? Because that's pretty much the last, this weekend is really the last opportunity for the public to weigh in on what you've already received so far.
To some degree, yes. So we have our recommendations, a draft set of recommendations. We're going to put them out for everyone to see, provide feedback on. Then we'll go back and we'll refine them, and we'll create a final set of recommendations and develop some actions to help reach those recommendations. We expect to have final recommendations completed by the end of October or November. And we'll be presenting those to both the Parks Board and the Planning Commission and asking for any comments from both of those groups. And once we have all of those finalized, we'll be taking it to City Council for adoption in January, and that will include a public hearing. That is actually the final opportunity for the public to come in and provide their comments or feedback on this.
So the City Council, the Astoria City Council in January would hear your final proposal, and there will be a public hearing at that time, and so the public could come in and say, wait, something new has happened.
Correct.
Since you got this information in the fall.
Yeah.
And then the City Council would adopt the plan, and then you would talk about how you're going to implement it. Or, well, I guess that would be part of the proposal.
Correct, yes.
I guess it would be a timeline then about mm-hmm. when you're – what are the priorities? Is it the extension of, you know, the Riverwalk Trail? Is it the signage? Those are the kinds of things I think you'll be looking at, right?
Right, yeah. And actually in this next stage of public involvement this weekend, we're going to be asking for some contributions on what people think the priority should be at this point. So we will be gathering some of the priorities. Starting now.
Was there anything surprising to you, Christina, about what you heard?
You know, I can't say I was surprised by anything. I guess the level of involvement and excitement, willingness to help, was really surprising and kind of overwhelming. We've had people just show up at the city and say, I'm here to help. I want to work on trails. Go point me in the right direction.
Oh, so. That is so wonderful that so, people do care. I mean, yes.
Yes, it's exciting to see that. And I guess for those people who are really excited, I would encourage them to keep the excitement up, and that, you know, we expect next spring or summer that some of these proposals are actually going to be implemented during that time, and we'll really be needing the help then. So I hope that excitement is able to be maintained. And everything else just seems to make sense. What people are asking for, a lot of really logical things that aren't necessarily really expensive to do or time-consuming, but things that would be fairly easy to implement.
Well, I think we all know how vital spending time in the natural world is for our mental and physical health and spiritual health on every level, for people to be able to have opportunities to be outside. And yes, we live in it's a small community, but there can be kind of an urban, you know, feel. I mean, Astoria is a very busy, vibrant little town, but we're so fortunate that we have these trails and that we can take our dogs out with our little doggy bags to clean up. And we can, because that can shift an attitude, that can make take away stress of a day. The value of having a trail system is just huge.
Sure, and we heard, we asked people how they use the trails as part of our survey, and definitely a lot of walkers and dog walkers, but there's also a lot of bikers and runners, and then there's also a group of people who go out there for geocaching or collecting mushrooms or scavenging. Also people who go out for spiritual reasons and prayer. And we heard lots of different comments about why people use these trails. And so I think that they serve lots of functions for the community. And it's a trend that's not only here locally, but if you look at national and state recreation reports and plans, they talk about this as a nationwide trend. And there's a lot of, actually, fortunately, there's a lot of funds out there right now because of that. There's a strong demand for improving and increasing, expanding trail systems. So
that's great. And it is, again, habitat for the birds and the you know, all of the animals who make their home in the forest. And I think I read somewhere that if you're having a difficult time, you're stressed out, if you just can remove yourself for a few moments to be in the natural world and listen to a bird singing, that has physiological, consequences which are positive and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all very good. And again, we'll tell people one more time about the events and about the way to contact people. If you want to be a volunteer on one of the Estuary Recreational Trails, it sounds like it's fairly loose and open, and that if you can, come and say, it's a gorgeous day, I want to be outside, please give me a trail to go to and tell me what you'd like me to do there.
Yes, and hopefully by the time this plan is complete, we'll have somebody coordinating all of the volunteer
nice.
Efforts.
That would be good. All right, so this weekend, Saturday, from 10 to 1 at Coffee Girl, and Sunday at the Sunday Market from 10 to 3. Or you can call the City of Astoria, the Community Development Department, and talk to Brett Estes or Rosemary Johnson. And Christina, thank you so much for your hard work mm-hmm. on this trail system. And you're here to follow it through the process all the way through January.
Yes.
And it's a really valuable service. And have you loved doing it?
Yes, definitely. It's been a pleasure to be here and be a part of it.
Right.
So, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here and for everything that you do. I want to encourage all of you to be involved and go out and take a walk today on one of our recreational trails. I want to thank our engineer extraordinaire, Terry Wilson. Thank you, Terry. He's smiling. And also, I want to extend my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week. Find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those good things. Focus on feeling good. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.